going to look at two passages of Scripture as we consider once again God the Holy Spirit and the believer. The first passage is in Zechariah. If you will turn back with me, that's the next to the last book in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 4. And verses 6 and 7, Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Now, these two verses that we've just looked at and I've read are the answer. They contain the answer of an angel who was speaking to the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah, in a dream or a vision, had seen a golden candlestick with seven lamps, much like the lampstand that was in the tabernacle, but it was different in this sense. At the top, there was a bowl, and there were pipes running from the bowl to each one of the lamps, and then on either side, there was an olive tree. If you look back, let's read that in the first few verses. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep and said unto me, What seest thou? And he said, and I said, I have looked and behold a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it and his seven lamps thereon and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. This, it seems, pictured the continuous supply for the lamps that were burning. The two olive trees would continually supply the oil that was needed for the lamps to burn, the constant supply. Zerubbabel did not understand what this meant, and so we see the angel explained it to him. Who was Zerubbabel? Who was this man, Zerubbabel? Well, we know that he was the leader. He was the governor of Israel when the nation came back out of the 70 years captivity in Babylon. And he was at the head of the nation. He was to reestablish the testimony and worship of God in Jerusalem. And we know that included the rebuilding of the temple. And I believe that the many obstacles that he faced, and there were many obstacles, remember this, these people coming back out of captivity, and they were to reestablish God's worship there, build a temple, and once again began to worship God according to the law of Moses concerning the sacrifices, the altars, the candlestick, the table of showbread, the holy of holies, and all of that. But there are two great truths that are given to him as he faced these many, many obstacles, which are represented by the great mountain notice it, the question is, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? In other words, in the face of these difficulties, these obstacles that he was going to meet, God is promising him and showing him that every need would be met, that there would be a constant supply, as these two olive trees pictured constant supply of oil for the lamps. And the constant supply to enable him to accomplish the work that he was to do was by the power of the Holy Spirit, first of all. That's the first thing we see. It would be by God the Holy Spirit. It would not be by might nor by power. This is common in the Word of God. First, we have a negative. It's not by might. It's not by power. The work that he was called to do, it was beyond the ability, beyond the power, beyond the strength of a man. And it would not be by man's power, man's ability, man's might, but it would be produced by my Spirit, which we know is God the Holy Spirit. We have seen previously that the relationship in the Trinity is that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. When the Comforter, our Lord said, when he is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. God says, my Spirit. It's God the Holy Spirit who is going to give you the strength and the power that you need. And this mountain, these obstacles, all of these things that would hinder you in doing the work that I've called you to do, they're going to be taken care of. How? Not by human power, not by human ability, but by my Spirit. The work of the Lord in preaching the gospel, and the point I'm making especially is in living the Christian life, the life that God would have us to live, none of us have the ability. No man does. And yet God promises that it's not by might, it's not by power, man's power. It is rather by God the Holy Spirit living in us, enabling us. And there's a constant supply. There's a constant supply every day. Over the years, I've read and heard a few people think, well, I don't know if I should confess or profess Christ as my Lord and Savior. I just don't see how I'm going to hold out. You can't. Not in your strength, and you're not expected to. That's not it at all. But God the Holy Spirit, he's the one who will give you, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, this great mountain, whatever it is, and all of it shall be as a plain. And then the second thing we see, grace in verse 7. Notice it says that he would bring forth the headstone thereof. Now, this means at the finishing touch, the end, the headstone of this work, that it would be brought forth with shoutings of grace, grace. Now, that tells me that if at the very end all the glory, all the praise is given to grace, then all the work was done by grace. That's the point I want to make. God the Holy Spirit and God's grace. And remember, as God told Paul the apostle, my grace is sufficient for thee. When you look at the life of Paul or the life of the believers in the New Testament, it was an impossibility when you think about it to do what some of them did, many of them. But they did it. Why? Because of the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and the grace of God. We know, and we saw last week, that the new birth is the work of the Holy Spirit. We looked at that passage in Ezekiel chapter 36 that said, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And when the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament was speaking to Nicodemus about the new birth, He said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We also know that the new birth is by the grace of God. Salvation is of grace. And so I want us to see these two truths, the Holy Spirit and grace, their association. The beginning of salvation in a person. All of us here tonight who have been saved, all of us without exception, because there's only one gospel, there's only one Savior, and the work of salvation begins with the new birth, and that is the work of God the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 1, we read, but as many as received him. If you are saved, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And though you see those two terms are synonymous. To believe on Christ is to receive Christ. Many people, I don't know why, but even among some sovereign grace preachers, they have a problem with that word receive. But that's what the scripture says. To receive Christ is to believe on Christ. And then we read, which are born, not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, but of God the Holy Spirit. The new birth begins, the Christian life begins with the work of God in us, the grace of God. And here's the beginning, and we all know this. You know this. I'm not telling any of us anything we do not already know, that the beginning of salvation is the work of God the Holy Spirit. Yes, it uses the gospel. We've seen that. The gospel comes to us, but as I pointed out last week, what one of the Puritans said, the Holy Spirit comes riding in the chariot of the gospel. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, we read in James. But it's a work of the Holy Spirit, and it is a work of grace. For by grace you are saved. So the salvation begins with the work of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God, and what we need to see is it continues. As long as we are in this world, the child of God, our life is going to be marked by God the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. God the Holy Spirit, when he comes to live, he doesn't come to stay for just a few days. He comes and he doesn't leave. He's with us even unto the end of the age. Now, the second passage I want us to look at is found in Galatians. So that we see that very clearly here in this passage of Scripture. There's a continuous supply of God the Holy Spirit and the grace of God as we would serve the Lord, as we have begun by the work of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God, so we are to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, the apostle asked this question, this only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now, you see, in the first question that Paul puts forth, his question supposes that they had received the Holy Spirit. That's taken for granted, because he asked, this only would I learn of you, receive ye the Holy Spirit. But the question is, they had received the Holy Spirit, but how did they receive the Holy Spirit? Was it by hearing the gospel of the grace of God that you were quickened and made alive in Christ, given life in Christ? Was it through hearing and believing the gospel of the grace of God that you were born again, justified, sealed with God the Holy Spirit? And remember, The Holy Spirit is the seal. He himself is the seal of every believer. Keep your place there, but look over just a few pages to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. In whom, that's Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit is the seal. And the seal shows ownership. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. You are his. And it also shows security, doesn't it? It shows security. We sang that hymn, as long as God is and I am, there's not going to be any separation from his love. But Paul is asking the question here in Galatians, was it through hearing the gospel of the grace of God that you were quickened, that you were made alive, that you received God the Holy Spirit, or was it by hearing a so-called gospel which puts you to working that adds to the message of Christ? How was it that you received the Holy Spirit? Was it the work of grace taking place in your heart as you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Or was it when you heard a message? And that's because the Galatians, you know, these churches, these false teachers had come there and they had began to teach, well, yeah, Christ, that's good, that's good, but there's more. You know, I've often wanted to ask people who say that, what more is there than Christ? What more is there than Christ? And when you ask someone, usually the answer will have to be, well, it's what we do. It's our works. Christ is all. He's all in all, the scripture says. And we are accepted in him. He finished the work. We receive him and we're saved and safe for eternity in him. Now, we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. There's no question about that. We are to mature. But we never reach perfection in the sense that we are, in this life, free from the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And the flesh can do nothing but sin. That's all it is, sin. The Spirit is life. The Spirit is righteousness and holiness. Now, there's only one right answer here. This is not a trick question that Paul puts to them, is it? There's only one right answer. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by hearing the gospel of the grace of God, or did you receive the Holy Spirit by hearing the message of works? There's only one right answer. Now, seeing this is true, you began in the Spirit. Notice that. You began in the Spirit. Now, are you so foolish as to think that to go on in growth and maturity, that this is the work of the flesh, that this is going to be accomplished in your natural innate strength and ability? Well, it's not going to happen that way. That which we recognize that we have been born of the Spirit of God, we didn't have the strength, the ability to produce a new birth, and we don't have the strength, the ability to grow, to mature. We don't have that in ourselves. Look in Galatians 5 just a moment. We don't have the ability, the strength in ourselves to bring about the new birth. That's the work of God the Holy Spirit, and it is a work of grace. Well, what would make us think that we have the power, the ability to grow ourselves, to mature. In verse 25 of chapter 5, Paul says, walk, if we live in or by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, that's how we came to have life, isn't it? By the Spirit. By Him quickening us. By Him working in our hearts. If we live by or in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us live. This is what I see here. Let us live depending upon the Holy Spirit for the strength, for the power, for the help as we live in this world, as we walk in this world. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by my Spirit. This is what the Lord is teaching us. Let us take the Holy Spirit's word, that is the Scriptures, as our guidebook. You know, a child of God in the New Testament, a child of God is spoken at least one time as being in a race. In Hebrews chapter 12, let us run with race. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But several times, our life is pictured as a walk, as we walk. Now, a walk has a beginning, doesn't it? It has a beginning. And our walk began with the new birth. That's when we began to walk with God. A walk has a destination. It has an end. And our destination is heaven. It is to forever be with the Lord. Now, our walk must be in dependence upon God the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. We must never think that we are sufficient in ourselves. You know, Paul said, we're not sufficient in ourselves to even think a right thought. That's amazing, isn't it? Man doesn't like to believe it. But that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's all there is to it. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We don't have the strength, the ability to live as the Lord would have us to live, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. But thank God we do have God the Holy Spirit living in us. You know, when our Lord promised the coming of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, He used the title of comforter, of comforter. And the Greek word from which that is translated is a word it looks like you'd pronounce it parakletos, which literally means called to one side, called to one side. And it's the same word that's translated advocate in 1 John chapter 2, speaking of if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins. So we have one who comes alongside, who lives in us, that is God the Holy Spirit, and we have one who ever lives in the presence of God as our advocate, as our helper. That word literally can be translated our succorer. You know, in Hebrews, we have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and he's able to succor us, help us. The Holy Spirit, that's one of his titles as well, helper. And we have him always living in us to help us. Our need is to learn to depend upon God the Holy Spirit and the grace of God working in us every day. Every day when we get up and face life, we've got obstacles. We've got a mountain like Zerubbabel had before him. But yet, he was going to be successful. And that mountain was to become like a plain. How? Not by his strength, not by his ability, but by God's Spirit and God's grace. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 4 and look at the early church, what's recorded here of the early church in regard to these two truths, God the Holy Spirit and grace. God the Holy Spirit and grace here in Acts chapter 4. If you will, look in verse 31 and also verse 33. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now notice in verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You see, the Holy Spirit and grace. In verse 33, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and in verse 33, we're told, and great grace was upon them all. And what did this enable them to do? Now, they're just a minority, a very small minority among the Jews in Jerusalem, these early believers. But what did the Holy Spirit and the grace upon them enable them to do? Well, notice it tells us that they were able to speak the word of God with boldness. With boldness, they were able. This is what it produced. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, let me close with these two scriptures and think about the Holy Spirit and grace. I've tried to point out that the Christian life begins with the Holy Spirit's work and grace, and it is to continue, trusting in the Holy Spirit and God's grace. How necessary, how needful is the Holy Spirit and grace. Think of these two scriptures. First, concerning the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, I'll read it to you. If you then, now these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you then being evil, and that's a general truth of all men, right? Amen. If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Look at this. How much more? How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We should ask, should we not? We should ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray and ask the Lord to fill us day by day with his Spirit, enabling us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because we still have the flesh, and it lusts against the Spirit. And we need God's power, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. And then the second verse is found in James chapter 4. This has to do with grace. Always remember this, James 4 and verse 6, God resisteth the proud. Anytime we get lifted up and think we're sufficient in ourselves, think we're beyond the reach of temptation to fall into sin, whatever, God resisteth the proud. But, I'm glad that's not the end of this verse, aren't you? But giveth grace unto the humble. May God help us to humble ourselves always before him, recognizing that in ourselves, we are nothing. We are what we are by the grace of God. And whatever we have, we've received. Whatever we know, he's taught us. That's just so, isn't it? And all the glory and all the praise, all the honor must always redound to the Lord. Well, I pray that the Lord would bless this word and think about these two truths, the Holy Spirit, the need of the Holy Spirit, and grace, how they work together. That's how the Christian life begins, and that's how it is to continue. Let's be dismissed with prayer. Let's stand.